Union Secretary of War Stanton immediately ordered that exchanges cease for Confederate officers. He said, "We'll hold them as hostages. If the Confederacy executes any of our white officers commanding black units, we will retaliate. We'll execute in reaction to that." So this is a major problem with the exchange system, the appearance of black men in Union uniforms and the Confederacy's absolute refusal to treat them as regular prisoners of war, they and their officers, both potentially subject to these harsh punishments from the Confederates. The second factor in 1863 was that after the fall of Vicksburg and Port Hudson in July of that year, U.S. Grant and the other federal commanders had on their hands more than 35,000 Union prisoners, Confederate prisoners of war. They were paroled, all of them. But the Confederacy put many of those men back in uniform before they had been exchanged. And when the North found out about that, they were rightly outraged that the paroles had been violated, and exchanges by the end of 1863 had virtually come to a halt. December of 1863, 26,000 Confederates and 13,000 Federals were being held as prisoners of war. The Confederacy refused to change its policy regarding black soldiers. The North refused to compromise on the issue, and so they were at an impasse. That's the situation. No exchange in place, and then you come to the campaigns of the spring of 1864 and the enormous losses of the Overland Campaign, particularly. The prisoners captured on each side in the campaigning in 64 filled the prisons on each side to overflowing. The Confederacy suggested another exchange, but still refused to treat black soldiers as prisoners of war. By that time, Ulysses S. Grant, who's general-in-chief, had decided that the exchange system on the whole worked to the advantage of the Confederacy. The Confederacy had fewer men, and therefore, if they could exchange, it would help them. The North could make up its losses more easily than could the Confederacy. This is what Grant wrote about the subject. "It's hard on our men," he said, "held in southern prisons, not to exchange them. But it is humanity to those left in the ranks to fight our battles. Maybe we'll end the war sooner. Maybe we'll have fewer casualties if we don't exchange these prisoners and give the Confederacy those men back." Now, many Confederates blamed the policy of no exchanges on Grant. They said, "We would have exchanged troops, all of the horrors of Andersonville, the horrors of Elmira, camps north and south would not have taken place except for Ulysses S. Grant." They said, "He's the one who stopped the exchanges, and we could have avoided so much misery if it hadn't been for Grant." But of course, that's really not the truth, because the exchange system had broken down before Grant to a large extent, and one of the huge problems was that the Confederacy wouldn't treat black troops as prisoners of war. Grant, in October of 1864, exchanged messages with Lee on the subject of exchanges. And Grant said that he would be willing to resume exchanges on the condition that black soldiers be included. Lee, acting as his government wanted him to act, said, "No, they're outside. We'd like to exchange white soldiers." And so the negotiations stalled. Now, there began to be a turn in this impasse in late 1864, when some sailors were exchanged without regard to color. There's a little bit of a history here. Black and white men served together on Union vessels, United States naval vessels. They had in the antebellum years. They did during the Civil War. It was much more difficult to segregate sailors on a vessel than it was to segregate regiments of white and black troops. So sailors, there was a history of integrated crews on vessels. And in the fall of 1864, some sailors were exchanged without regard to color. Then in the winter of 64-65, each side agreed to exchange thousands of wounded and sick prisoners, again, regardless of color. Finally, in January of 1865, the Confederate government agreed to exchange all prisoners, and the number of prisoners released on each side soon reached about 1,000 per day. Following the Confederate surrenders in April and May of 1865, all the remaining prisoners were exchanged, many of them in very feeble condition, but at least they were allowed to go home.